And again, if you haven't been with us too much lately, it's good to have you back. If it's your first time with us, especially a warm welcome, as Ryan said earlier. Oh, so should be okay. Thank you. If I do trip over, just pick me up. Mike and Rachel Ballantyne were visiting us Christmas Eve service in the morning. For some of you who are longer standing members here at the Anchor, you remember Mike and Rachel and the family. They were quite pivotal, you know, when they were here at the church, in our church growth. And there were four or five of us just standing around after the service that morning talking to Mike. And he asked a question of us. He said, what have you appreciated, words to the effect, what have you appreciated about God over the past year? And I thought, oof, that's pretty, you gotta think about that. And we went round and said what we've appreciated about God over the past year. And it came to my turn, you know, I really thought hard. And what came to my mind was I appreciated the challenges that I received from God when I'm preparing for Sunday morning. You know, that really, I appreciate that. And if Mike asked me, then he said, well, what are the challenges? So I, you know, well, there are many, and I said a few. But if he were to ask me that right now, what are the challenges from preparing? What I've been thinking about over the last 3 weeks or so is about when I was preparing for a message 4 years ago. So that's my challenge is for this year is something that when I was preparing for a message 4 years ago. And I now hope that when I bring this challenge, because I thought my challenge should be your challenge. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. The challenge, have we got the overhead there, Jack? Is that doing its thing? Yeah, just bring it up if you can. Oh, I've got to. What do I need to? Anyway, this is my first challenge of the morning. Anyway, the lads will work on it. We'll carry on and we'll catch up. But that's what I'm thinking. That maybe the challenge that I received preparing 4 years ago and is really on my heart now, and the challenge that I'm taking forward into 2018, maybe your challenge there. In my early 20s, I had a bit of a change in my life. You know, I could get up in front of people and make them laugh and do silly things, but as far as standing up and communicating something about God, that kind of, I felt really inadequate. For one, I hadn't done a Bina study, so I really had nothing to say. So I decided that I would take a year out and go and study at a Bible school. It was designed for people that just wanted to take a year out and just kind of have a whirlwind tour of the Bible. So that's what I did. And I met a lot of really interesting bunch of people there. There was, if we had the PowerPoint, but the lads are working on it, but I'll describe them to you. There was Jim and Lynn. Imagine you're looking at Jim and Lynn. They were in a, I'll turn this off and turn it on again. They were an Australian couple, came over from Australia, and they were buskers by trade. Really interesting, and Lynn augmented the time by cutting hair. There was Kelvin. He was the New Zealand long bike champion. And if you don't know what long bike is, that's where instead of racing motorbikes around a speedway circuit, you race them around a trotting track. So he was the New Zealand long bike champion. Interesting fella. There was Kelvin. He taught me how to do the Dukes of Hazzard spin. You know, if you don't know what that is, do an intercept. Oh, hang on. Brilliant. The lads are good. Right. We're an interesting bunch. For those listening online, we've got the PowerPoint up, so we'll just say, there's Jim and Lynn, Australian couple. Kelvin's in the greeny shirt on the left. Malcolm, he's with the three guys with the white shirts. He's on the right. And there was Tom with a beard. You can see Tom, a very angelic looking fella. He was a musician. And his great desire after Bible school, he kept trying to talk me into it, but it didn't gain traction, was to rent a massive house and set up kind of a Christian community of arty types and do, you know, various things for God. He was my best man. Next to him is Phil, menacingly holding the baseball bat. He was my roommate. And during study time, when things got a bit, you know, the juices weren't flowing and things were getting a bit frustrated, I'd hear a drawer open, then I'd hear this, and it would be Phil bringing out a knife, hiffing it across the room, and it would stick in the door. And that was the way he kind of relieved his frustrations. And then he'd stand up, pull it out, put it back in his drawer, and away he'd go. So that was some of the interesting fellas at Bible school. But on this particular day, it was study time, and Phil and I were in our room, and somebody walked past our window, and Phil gave me that look that was nice. Went back to him, and he got up, picked up the rubbish tin that was in the room, overturned it, emptied its contents, walked out, and started to fill it up with water. It was all on. I did the same, got a rubbish tin, filled it up with water. And off we went. We were stealth bombers, off on missions to get targets. Target number one, totally drenched. Target number two, totally drenched. Other people from other dorms saw what was happening and came out. But we were caning the other dorms, you know. It was a water fight beyond any other water fights. Didn't take too long for everybody to be involved. And one particular time in this water fight, Phil had climbed up on a roof. He had changed his little domesticity, baskety, water, rubbish tin for a normal-sized, big kitchen one, like in the kitchen. And he was up on the roof. How he got this huge water receptacle on the roof, I don't know. But there he was. Unfortunately, this roof happened to be the ceiling of the acting principal, who heard Phil's clompers on there. And George decided to come out to investigate. Opened his office door, took a couple of paces. There was the outside door where Phil was just above. He took a couple of steps out. I was on the grass bank just looking, yelled out, "Phil, no!" Well, fortunately for Phil, maybe unfortunately for the story, but fortunately for Phil, he was a gifted sportsman and just pulled back before letting rip all over George's head. He managed to stop in mid-swing. Well, George wasn't overly impressed. He was a very gracious man, very humble, a keen sportsman himself, and I'm sure he understood the finer points of water fights and the enjoyment, but he deemed that Phil and I were the instigators, and we were invited into his office. So we walked into his office, and he was then walked around just quelling this water fight before he came back into his office. There we were standing there, as the water pooled Donna's carpet beneath our feet, and there we waited. And then George came in. We were sort of trying not to draw attention to this big puddle that was on his carpet at this point. And George came in, and he simply said, this is study time. You must redeem that time. Phil and I sort of looked a bit and waited for more. And then he said, that's all. You may go. And we walked out, well, squelched out of the room and outside. And I looked at Phil and said, what the hang did he mean by that? Phil said, well, I don't know. Thought maybe there's some kind of detention involved. But it played on my mind. What did he mean by that? That seemed to be that seemed to be the sum total of his, I've pushed a button up here. But that seemed to be the sum total of sort of the repercussions of that. So I went and asked George what he meant. It did play on my mind a little bit. And he said, your time at Bible school is so precious. It's so short. Don't waste a minute of it. Save the water fights for the weekends. See, George had been a missionary in El Salvador. He'd been a missionary in El Salvador, and it was during a period of civil war that they had there. And he hadn't long been back from El Salvador, and he kept in contact. And there were many, many young men and women who he knew who would dearly love to be given the opportunity of coming to this Bible school. But because of finances and language barriers, there was no way. It was seemingly impossible for them. But he said to us, you have that opportunity. God has given you that opportunity. Redeem the time. Make the most of every second that you have. We'll just move forward. And the redeem the time comes from Ephesians 5, verse 16. Other translations of this verse says, this is the NASB, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And the NET says, therefore, be careful how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And as I looked into that word redeem subsequently, it has the concept of rescuing time from and I quote, from the bondage of inappropriate use while here on earth. It's actually an exciting concept. If you think of a sportsman, a rugby player, the ball sitting on the ground, free. The opposition's racing in to pick it up. And the sportsman has the opportunity of racing forward, picking it up. And they do that. They pick up the ball and they run, do a few side steps, race down and score a try. That's the concept of rescuing time from the opposition, taking advantage of every opportunity that you have. That's what George was getting at. It's kind of that Black Hawk Down concept where there's a soldier and he's in across enemy lines and in danger of being captured. And if you like, you fly that helicopter in, you land it, the rotor blades are going, you jump out of the helicopter, do your whatever you do to get through to the soldier, and you drag him back, help him back, put him on the helicopter, and take him back to safe territory. That's the concept of redeeming the time. It's rescuing time from unprofitable use. So while we're here on earth, we are on a mission to rescue time from that unprofitable use or inappropriate activities that don't have eternal value, that don't please God. You know, and I learned a valuable lesson that day with George, that time is a precious commodity. But when you're kind of 23 years old, or I guess younger, you don't really have a handle on it. But after that chat with George, I did begin to, you know, to see the truth. And the Bible, my time at Bible school kind of ticked over. Man, I was halfway through it at one point. Then only 2 months to go. Then only kind of 25 days, only 2 days. Only one day and it'll all be over. Maybe I could pause time. Maybe I could just stop it. Maybe I could buy some back, or maybe I could sort of rewind my time there. But for me, like everyone else, you know, it's just 60 seconds in a minute and 3,600 in an hour or some such thing, and they just keep ticking by. You know, and then my time at Bible school was over. It was a great, enjoyable year. And the time had passed, and I would never get it back. I guess more importantly, the times that I wasted there, I would never indeed get back at all. And now, as the years have passed by, I've realised just how brief, well, my time on earth is. How quickly those seconds go by. James acknowledges this. He says, your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. Now that's a great observation from James. And Moses, one of the writers from the Psalms, he says, teach us to realize how short our days are, then our hearts will become wise. You know, in other words, my time on earth here is short. Help me to realize that and make every second count. You know, again, a great observation from Moses and a great statement. Because the reality is, as Christians, that the time we have here on earth is God's time. He's entrusted it into our care, and we're here to manage it, if you like, on His behalf. And it's not necessarily a case of being busier, though for some it might be. For a lot of people, it might be a case of just slowing down. And again, Psalm 90, down the end of Psalm 90 is helpful. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands for us. It's a case of getting to know God and how He would like us to use our time. It may be, you know, it may mean dropping some things that aren't God honouring, or just, you know, time wasting. It may mean picking other things up and then setting them aside, whatever you pick up, and making it quality time for those, whether it's activities or whether it's people. You know, I've just got 25 minutes here this morning. That has to be, I've got to make that quality time. I've got to set aside time and preparation, adequate time. I've got to make that time when I'm preparing quality, so that here is quality, and quality in God's eyes. And it's the same for whatever activity. The first that is a subliminal advertising to get you to the marriage course. Just the first activity kind of pops to mind. Generation, you know, you might have, if you're involved in that, have the kids for 2 hours a week, just for how long was that? 3 years. You know, you make that the preparation time quality, the time with those kids quality, whatever you're involved in. And family, wow, how those seconds pass by. You know, with your whatever stage of life you're at, I'm sure you're observing it. It's racing by quick. And people, too. People are important. People who come across our path. Do we have time for them? You know, what's impacting me now, nearly 30 years later, is a statement, a very short statement that George said to me. You know, we have massive impacts, and I pray and trust this morning that that statement George made 30 years ago will now be impacting you, and it may stick with you for 30 years, and then you might pass it on to some. We can't underestimate just making time for people, and as Ryan's alluded that this morning as well. So time, indeed, is a precious commodity, so let's assess how we're using it, and if need be, let's go on a rescue mission to rescue it, and let's seek to utilise it well. So, and also, might I say in closing, there is nothing wrong with water fights, just at the right time. So God has given us life to enjoy as well. So let me close in prayer, will I? Come up. Father God, we again thank you for your word, the Bible, how it is practical and helps us to live as you would have us live. And we thank you for those who wrote the Bible, just emphasising with your inspiration just what a precious commodity time is and how we can impact those around in a mighty way. Just by utilising time well. So please challenge us, Father, help us to assess maybe those times, I guess, when we're on the internet for some, it can be a time-consuming occupation, but we acknowledge that the internet can be a great help in getting to know you and a great help in worshipping you, but it can also take us places where we shouldn't go. So just, Father, jog us in all manner of situations about how we are utilising our time. And again, we thank you for, yes, the time that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us and what he achieved by taking time out for us. And we do acknowledge and thank you for this. Amen.